but someone touched her elbow. "If I may," Nehemia said in Eelway, "I'd like to offer this to you instead." The princess held out her beautifully carved iron-tipped staff. Selena glanced between Kaol's sword and her friend's weapon. The sword, obviously, was the wiser choice, and for Kaol to offer his own weapon made her feel strangely lightheaded. But the staff... Nehemia leaned in to whisper in Selena's ear. "Let it be with an Eelway weapon that you take them down." Her voice hitched. "Let wood from the forests of Eelway defeat steel from Otterlin. Let the king's champion be someone who understands how the innocent suffer." Hadn't Elena said almost the same thing all those months ago? Selena swallowed hard, and Kaol lowered his sword, taking a step back from them. Nehemia didn't break her stare. She knew what the princess was asking of her. As the king's champion, she might find ways to save countless lives, ways to undermine the king's authority. And that, Selena realized, was what Elena, the king's own ancestor, might want, too. Though a bolt of fear went through her at the thought, though standing against the king was the one thing Selena had thought she'd never be brave enough to do, she couldn't forget the 3 scars on her back, or the slaves she'd left in Endovir, or the 500 butchered Eelway rebels. Selena took the staff from Nehemia's hands. The princess gave her a fierce grin. Kaol, surprisingly enough, didn't object. He only sheathed his sword and bowed his head to Nehemia as she clapped Selena on the shoulder before she walked off. Selena gave the staff a few experimental sweeps in the space around her. Balanced, solid, strong. The rounded iron tip could knock a man out cold. She could feel the lingering oil from Nehemia's hands and smell her friend's lotus blossom scent on the engraved wood. Yes, the staff would do just fine. She'd taken down Varen with her bare hands. She could defeat Grave and Kane with this. She glanced at the king, who was still speaking with Parrington, and found Dorian watching her instead. His sapphire eyes reflected the brilliance of the sky, though they darkened slightly as he flicked them toward Nehemia. Dorian was many things, but he wasn't stupid. Had he realized the symbolism in Nehemia's offer? She quickly dropped his stare. She'd worry about that later. Across the ring, Grave began pacing, waiting for the king to return his attention to the duel and give the order to begin. She loosed a shuddering breath. Here she was, at long last. She gripped the staff in her left hand, taking in the strength of the wood, the strength of her friend. A lot could happen in a few minutes. A lot could change. She faced Kaol. The wind ripped a few strands of hair from her braid, and she tucked them behind her ears. "No matter what happens," she said quietly, "I want to thank you." Kaol tilted his head to the side. "For what?" Her eyes stung, but she blamed it on the fierce wind and blinked away the dampness. "For making my freedom mean something." He didn't say anything. He just took the fingers of her right hand and held them in his thumb brushing the ring she wore. "Let the second duel commence," the king boomed, waving a hand toward the veranda. Kaol squeezed her hand, his skin warm in the frigid air. "Give him hell," he said. Grave entered the ring and drew his sword. Pulling her hand from Kaol's, Selena straightened her spine as she stepped into the ring. She quickly bowed to the king, then to her opponent. She met Grave's stare and smiled as she bent her knees, holding the staff in 2 hands. "You have no idea what you're getting yourself into, little man." Chapter 48. As she expected, Grave launched himself at her, going straight for the center of the staff in his hope to break it. But Selena whirled away. As Grave struck nothing but air, she slammed the butt of the staff into his spine. He staggered, but kept upright, turning on 1 foot as he charged after her again. She took the blow this time, angling her staff so he hit the bottom half. His blade wedged in the wood, and she jumped toward him, letting the force of his own blow snap the upper part of the staff straight into his face. He stumbled, but her fist was waiting. As it met with his nose, she savored the rush of pain through her hand and the crunch of his bones beneath her knuckles. She leapt back before he had a chance to strike. Blood gleamed as it trickled from his nose. "Bitch," he hissed, and swung. She met his blade, holding the staff with both hands, pushing the wood shaft into his sword, even when it let out a splintering groan. She shoved him, grunting, and spun. She whacked the back of his head with the top of the staff, and he teetered but regained his footing. He wiped at his bloody nose, eyes gleaming as he panted. His pockmarked face became feral, and he charged, aiming a direct blow to her heart. Too fast, too wild for him to stop. She dropped into a crouch. As the blade sailed overhead, she lashed out at his legs. He didn't even have time to cry out as she swept his feet out from under him, nor did he have time to raise his weapon before she crouched over his chest, the iron-coated tip of the staff at his throat. She brought her mouth close to his ear. "My name is Selena Sardothian," she whispered. "But it makes no difference if my name's Selena or Lillian or bitch, because I'd still beat you, no matter what you call me." She smiled at him as she stood. He just stared up at her, his bloody nose leaking down the side of his cheek. She took the handkerchief from her pocket and dropped it on his chest. "You can keep that," she said before she walked off the veranda. She intercepted Kaol as soon as she crossed the line of chalk. "How long did that take?" she asked. She found Nehemia beaming at her, and Selena lifted her staff a little in salute.
2 minutes.
She grinned at the captain. She was hardly winded. "Better than Kane's time."
"And certainly more dramatic," Kaol said. "Was the handkerchief really necessary?"
She bit down on her lip and was about to reply when the king stood, the crowd quieting.
"Wine for the winners," he said,
and Kane stalked from his place on the sidelines to stand before the king's table. Selena remained with Kaol. The king gestured at Kaltane, who obediently picked up a silver tray containing 2 goblets. She gave one to Kane, then walked over to Selena and handed the other to her before pausing in front of the king's table.
"Out of good faith and honor to the great goddess," Kaltane said in a dramatic voice. Selena wanted to punch her. "May it be your offering to the mother who bore us all. Drink, and let her bless you and replenish your strength."
Who had written that little script?
Kaltane bowed to them, and Selena raised the goblet to her lips. The king smiled at her, and she tried not to flinch as she drank. Kaltane took the goblet when she finished, and curtsied to Kane as he accepted his and slunk away.
"Win, win, win. Take him down quickly."
"Ready yourselves," the king ordered, "and begin on my mark."
Selena looked to Kaol. Wasn't she to be allowed a moment to rest? Even Dorian raised his brows at his father, but the king refused to acknowledge his son's silent questioning. Kane drew his sword, a crooked grin on his face, as he crouched in a defensive stance in the center of the ring. Insults would have risen to her lips if Kaol hadn't touched her shoulder, his chestnut eyes filled with some emotion she couldn't yet understand. There was strength in his face that she found to be achingly beautiful.
"Don't lose,"
he whispered so only she could hear.
"I don't feel like having to escort you all the way back to Endovir."
The world became foggy around the edges as he stepped away, his head held high as he ignored the white-hot glare of the king. Kane edged closer, his broadsword gleaming. Selena took a deep breath and entered the ring. The conqueror of Aurelia raised his hands.
"Begin," he roared,
and Selena shook her head, trying to clear her blurry vision. She steadied herself, wielding the staff like a sword as Kane began circling. Nausea flashed through her as his muscles flexed. For some reason, the world was still hazy. She clenched her teeth, blinking. She'd use his strength against him. Kane charged faster than she anticipated. She caught his sword on the broadside with the staff, avoiding the sharp edges, and leapt back as she heard the wood groan. He struck so quickly that she had to concede to the edge of his blade. It sank deep into the staff. Her arms ached from the impact. Before she could recover, Kane yanked his sword from her weapon and surged toward her. She could only bound back, deflecting the blow with the iron tip of the staff.
Her blood felt slow and thick, and her head spun. Was she ill? The nausea would not ease. Grunting, Selena pulled away with an effort of skill and force. If she were truly ill, she must finish this as quickly as possible. It was not a showcase of her abilities, especially if that book had been right, and Kane had been granted the strength of all those dead champions. Switching onto the offensive, she nimbly swept toward him. He parried Selena's attack with a brush of his blade. She brought the staff down upon his sword, splinters flying into the air. Her heart pounded in her ears, and the sound of wood against steel became almost unbearable. Why were things slowing down? She attacked, faster and faster, stronger and stronger. Kane laughed, and she almost screamed in anger. Each time she moved a foot to trip him, each time they came too close, she either became clumsy or he stepped away, as if he knew what she planned all along. She had the infuriating feeling that he was toying with her, that there was some joke she didn't understand. Selena whipped the staff through the air, hoping to catch him upon his unprotected neck. But he deflected, and though she spun and tried to knock him in his stomach, he blocked her again. "Not feeling well," he said, showing his white gleaming teeth. "Perhaps you shouldn't have been holding back all those..." Wham! She grinned as the shaft of her staff slammed into his side. He bent over, and her leg lashed out and swept him off his feet, sending him crashing to the ground. She raised her staff, but a sick feeling rushed through her so powerful that her muscles slackened. She had no strength. He knocked aside her blow as if it was nothing, and she retreated while he rose. And that's when she heard the laugh. Soft, feminine, and vicious. Kaltane. Selena's feet stumbled, but she stayed upright as she dared a glance at the lady, and the goblets on the table before her. And that's when she knew that it hadn't been wine in that glass, but bloodbane, the very drug she'd missed in the test. At best, it caused hallucinations and disorientation. At worst. She had difficulty holding the staff. Kane came at her, and she had no choice but to meet his blows, barely having the strength to raise the weapon each time. How much bloodbane had they given her? The staff crackled, splintered, and groaned. If it were a lethal dose, she'd be dead by now. They must have given her enough to disorient her, but not enough that it would be easy to prove. She couldn't focus, and her body became hot and cold. Kane was so large, he was a mountain, and his blows, they made Kaol seem like a child. "Tired already?" he asked. "It's a pity all of that yapping didn't amount to much." He knew. He knew they'd drugged her. She snarled and lunged. He stepped aside, and her eyes went wide as she hit nothing but air, 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 until... He slammed his fist into her spine, and she saw only the blur of slate tiles before they collided with her face. "Pathetic," he said, his shadow falling over her as she flipped onto her back, scrambling away before he could get closer. She could taste the blood in her mouth. This couldn't be happening. They couldn't have betrayed her like this.
"If I were Grave, I'd be insulted that you'd beaten me."
Her breath came fast and hard, and her knees ached as she stumbled upright, charging at him. Too fast for her to block, he grabbed her by the collar of her shirt and hurled her back. She kept upright as she tripped and stopped a few feet from him. Kane circled her, swinging his sword idly. His eyes were dark, dark like that portal to that other world. He was drawing out the inevitable, a predator playing with his meal before eating it. He wanted to enjoy every moment. She had to end this now, before the hallucinations started. She knew they'd be powerful. Seers had once used bloodbane as a drug to view spirits from other worlds. Selena shot forward with a sweep of the staff. Wood slammed into steel. The staff snapped in two. The iron-tipped head soared to the other side of the veranda, leaving Selena with a piece of useless wood. Kane's black eyes met with hers for a moment, before his other arm lashed out and connected with her shoulder. She heard the crack before she felt the pain, and Selena screamed, dropping to her knees as her shoulder dislocated. His foot met with the shoulder, and she went flying backward, falling so hard that her shoulder relocated with a sickening crunch. The agony blinded her. The world went in and out of focus. Things were so slow. Cain grabbed the collar of her jacket to pull her to her feet. She staggered back out of his grasp, the ground rushing beneath her, and then fell, hard. She raised the shaft of broken wood with her left hand. Cain, panting and grinning, approached. Dorian clenched his teeth. Something was terribly wrong. He'd known it from the moment the duel started, and began sweating when she had the opportunity to bestow a winning blow and failed to deliver it. But now... He couldn't watch as Cain kicked her shoulder and felt as if he'd vomit when the brute picked her up and she fell to the ground. She kept wiping her eyes, and sweat shone on her forehead. What was wrong? He should stop it. He should call off the duel now. Let her start tomorrow with a sword and her senses. Kaol hissed, and Dorian almost cried out as Selena attempted to stand but collapsed. Cain teased her, breaking not only her body but her will. He had to stop it. Cain swung his sword at Selena, who threw herself backward but not fast enough. She yelped as the blade sliced across her thigh, clothing and flesh ripping. Blood colored her pants. Despite it, she stood again, her face set in defiant rage. Dorian had to help her. But if he interfered, they might just proclaim Cain the victor. So he watched, in growing horror and despair, as Cain's fist slammed into her jaw. Her knees twisted as she fell. Something in Kaol began fraying as Selena raised her bloodied face to look at Cain.
I expected better, Cain said as Selena crawled into a kneeling position, still clutching at her useless piece of wood. She panted through her teeth, blood leaking from her lip. Cain studied her face as if he could read it, as if he could hear something Kaol couldn't. And what would your father say?
An expression flashed across Selena's eyes that bordered on fear and confusion. Shut your mouth, she said, her words trembling as she fought the pain of her wounds. But Cain kept staring at her, his smile growing.
It's all there, he said, right under that wall you built on top of it. I can see it clear as day.
What was he talking about? Cain lifted his sword and ran his finger through the blood. Her blood. Kaol reined in his disgust and anger. Cain let out a breathy laugh.
What was it like when you woke up between your parents covered in their blood?
Shut your mouth, she said again, her free hand clawing at the ground, her face twisted with rage and anguish. Whatever wound Cain was touching, it burned.
Your mother was a pretty young thing, wasn't she?
Cain said.
Be quiet!
She tried to surge to her feet, but her injured leg kept her down. She gasped for breath. How did Cain know these things about Selena's past? Kaol's heart pounded wildly, but he could do nothing to help her. She let out a wordless scream that shattered through the frozen wind as she scrambled to her feet. Her pain lost in her fury, she swung at his blade with the remnant of the staff.
Good.
Cain panted, pressing her staff so hard that his blade sank into the wood.
But not good enough.
He shoved her, and as she staggered back a step, he brought up his leg and kicked her in the ribs. She went flying. Kaol had never seen anyone struck that hard. Selena hit the ground and flipped, over and over and over until she slammed into the clock tower. Her head whacked against the black stone, and he bit down on his yell, forcing himself to remain on the sidelines, forcing himself to watch as Cain broke her apart piece by piece. How had it gone wrong so quickly? She trembled as she raised herself to her knees, clutching her side. She still held on to the remnant of Nehemia's staff, as if it were a rock in the middle of a violent sea. Selena tasted blood as Cain seized her again, dragging her across the floor. She didn't try to fight him. He could have pointed his sword at her heart at any point. This wasn't a duel. It was an execution, and no one was doing anything to stop it. They drugged her. It wasn't fair. The sunlight flickered, and she thrashed in Cain's grip, despite the agony shooting through her body. All around her were whispering, laughing, otherworldly voices. They called to her, but called a different name, a dangerous name. She glanced skyward, seeing the tip of Kane's chin before he hoisted her onto her feet and slammed her, face first, into a wall of freezing smooth stone. She was enveloped in familiar darkness. Her skull ached with the impact, but Selena's cry of pain was cut short as she opened her eyes to the dark and saw what appeared. Something, something dead, stood before her. It was a man, his skin pale and rotting. His eyes burned red, and he pointed at her in a broken, stiff way. His teeth were all sharp, and so long they barely fit into his mouth. Where had the world gone? The hallucinations must be starting. Light flashed as she was yanked back, and her eyes bulged as Kane threw her to the ground near the edge of the ring. A shadow passed across the sun. It was over. She would die now. Die, or lose and be sent back to Endovier. It was over. Over. Two black boots came into view, then a pair of knees as someone crouched on the edge of the ring. "Get up," Kaol whispered. She couldn't bring herself to look him in the face. It was over. Kane began laughing, and she felt the reverberations of his steps as he walked around the ring. "Is this all you have to offer?" he shouted triumphantly. Selena trembled. The world was awash with fog and darkness and voices. "Get up," Kaol said again, louder. She could only stare at the white line of chalk that marked the ring. Kane had said things he couldn't possibly know. He'd seen it in her eyes. And if he knew about her past. She whimpered, hating herself for it, and for the tears that began sliding down her face, across the bridge of her nose and onto the floor. It was all over. "Selena," Kaol said gently, and then she heard the scraping noise as his hand came into view, sliding across the flagstones. His fingertips stopped just at the edge of the white line. "Selena," he breathed, his voice laced with pain and hope. This was all she had left. His outstretched hand and the promise of hope, of something better waiting on the other side of that line. Moving her arm made sparks dance before her eyes, but she extended it until her fingertips reached the line of chalk and stayed there, not a quarter of an inch from Kaol, the thick white mark separating them. She lifted her eyes to his face and found his gaze lined with silver. "Get up," was all he said. And in that moment, somehow his face was the only thing that mattered. She stirred, and couldn't stop her sob as her body erupted with pain that made her lie still again. But she kept her focus on his brown eyes, on his tightly pressed lips as they parted and whispered, "Get up." She pulled her arm away from the line, bracing her palm against the frozen ground. She kept his gaze when she moved her other hand beneath her chest and bit down on the scream of pain as she pushed upward, her shoulder nearly buckling. She slid her good leg under her. As she made to stand, she felt the thud of Kane's steps, and Kaol's eyes went wide. The world spun black and mist and blue as Kane grabbed her and shoved her against the clock tower once more, her face smashing into the stone. When she opened her eyes, the world shifted. Blackness was everywhere. Deep down, she knew it wasn't just a hallucination. What she saw, who she saw, truly existed just beyond the veil of her world, and the poisonous drug had somehow opened her mind to see them. There were two creatures now, and the second one had wings. It was grinning. Grinning just as... Selena didn't have time to shout as it launched into flight. It threw her to the ground, and its claws ripped at her. She thrashed. Where had the world gone? Where was she? There were more of them. More appeared. The dead, demons, monsters. They wanted her. They called her name. Most of them had wings, and the ones that didn't were carried in the talons of others. They struck as they passed, their claws slicing her flesh. They were going to bring her inside their realm, and the tower was the gaping portal. She would be devoured. Terror. Terror like she'd never known took over. Selena covered her head as they swept upon her, and she kicked blindly. Where had the world gone? How much poison had they given her?
She was going to die. Freedom or death.
Defiance and rage mixed in her blood. She swung her free arm, and it met with a shadowy face with burning coals for eyes. The darkness rippled, and Kane's gaping features appeared. There was sun here. This was reality. How long did she have before another wave of the poison-induced visions took over? Kane reached for her throat, and she flung herself backward. All that he managed to grab was her amulet. With a resounding snap, the eye of Elena ripped from her neck. The sunlight disappeared. The bloodbane seizing control of her mind again, and Selena found herself before an army of the dead. The shadowy figure that was Kane raised an arm, dropping the amulet upon the ground. They came for her.
Chapter 49. Dorian watched in wide-eyed terror as Selena thrashed on the ground, waving away things they couldn't see. What was happening? Had there been something in that wine? But there was also something abnormal about the way Kane just stood there, smiling. Was there actually something there that they couldn't see? She screamed. It was the most horrible noise he'd ever heard.
Stop it now, he said to Kaol, as his friend rose from his spot near the ring.
But Kaol only gaped at the flailing assassin, his face pale as death.
She kicked and punched at nothing as Kane squatted over her and hit her in the mouth.
Blood flowed freely. It wouldn't stop until his father said something, or Kane knocked her truly unconscious. Or worse. He had to remind himself that any interference, even trying to say that her wine had been drugged, might result in her disqualification. She crawled away from Kane, her blood and saliva pooling onto the ground.
Someone stepped beside Dorian, and from her intake of breath, he knew it was Nehemia. She said something in Eelwe and walked to the very edge of the ring.
Tucked close to the folds of her cloak, nearly concealed there, her fingers were rapidly moving, tracing symbols in the air.
Kane stalked to where Selena panted, her face white and red. She eased herself into a kneeling position and stared without seeing at the ring, at everyone, at something beyond them, perhaps.
She was waiting for him. Waiting for him to kill her.
Kneeling on the ground, Selena gasped for breath, unable to find her way out of the hallucination and back into reality.
Here, the dead surrounded her, waiting.
The shadow thing that was Kane stood nearby, watching, his burning eyes his only distinguishing feature. Darkness rippled around Kane like shreds of clothing in the wind.
She would die soon. Light and darkness. Life and death. Where do I fit in?
The thought sent a jolt through her so strong that her hands fumbled for anything to use against him. Not like this. She'd find a way. She could find a way to survive.
I will not be afraid.
She'd whispered that every morning in Endovir. But what good were those words now? A demon came at her. And a scream, not of terror or of despair, but rather a plea, burst from her throat, a call for help. The demon flapped back, as if her scream had startled it. Kane motioned it forward again.
But then something extraordinary happened. Doors.
Doors, doors all burst open. Doors of wood, doors of iron, doors of air and magic. And from another world, Elena swept down, cloaked in golden light. The ancient queen's hair glittered like a shooting star as she plummeted into Aurelia. Kane chuckled as he stepped toward the panting assassin and raised his sword, aiming at the assassin's chest. Elena exploded through the ranks of the dead, scattering them. Kane's sword came down. A gust of wind slammed into Kane so hard he was sent sprawling to the ground, his sword flying across the veranda. But locked in that dark, horrible world, Selena only saw the ancient queen barrel into Kane, knocking him down before the dead charged. Yet they were too late. Golden light erupted around her, shielding her from them, making the dead step back. Wind mightier than anything the onlookers had witnessed still roared through the veranda. They shielded their faces as the wind howled. The demons bellowed and surged again, but a sword rang, and a demon fell. Black blood dripped from the blade, and the lips of Queen Elena were set in a feral snarl as she lifted her sword. It was a challenge, a dare to them to try to pass, to tempt her rage. Through fading eyes, Selena saw a crown of stars glittering atop Elena's head, her silver armor shining like a beacon in the blackness. The demons shrieked, and Elena stretched out a hand, golden light bursting from her palm. Forming a wall between them and the dead, she rushed to Selena's side and cupped her face in her hands.
"I cannot protect you," whispered the queen, her skin glowing.
Her face was different, too, sharper, more beautiful, her fey heritage.
"I cannot give you my strength."
She traced her fingers across Selena's brow.
"But I can remove this poison from your body."
Beyond them, Cain struggled to his feet. Wind slammed into him from all directions, keeping him trapped in place. From the far end of the veranda, a gust of wind sent the head of the staff rolling in her direction. It clattered to a stop, still a few tantalizing feet away. Elena put a hand on Selena's forehead.
"Take it," said the queen.
Selena strained to reach the remnant of the staff, her vision flashing between the sunny veranda and the endless dark. Her shoulder shifted slightly, and she stifled her scream of pain. At last, she felt the smooth carved wood, but also the pain from her aching fingers.
"Once the poison is gone, you will not see me. You will not see the demons," said the queen, sketching marks on Selena's brow.
Cain looked to the king as he retrieved his sword. The king nodded. Elena held Selena's face in her hands.
"Do not be afraid."
Beyond the golden wall of light, the dead shrieked and moaned Selena's name. But then Cain, bearing the shadowy dark thing that dwelled inside of him, stepped through the wall as if it were nothing, shattering it completely.
"Petty tricks, your majesty," Cain said to Elena. "Just petty tricks."
Elena was on her feet in an instant, blocking Cain's path to Selena. Shadows rippled along the edges of his form, and his ember-like eyes flared. Cain's attention was on Selena as he said,
"You were brought here. All of you were. All the players in the unfinished game. My friends," he gestured to the dead, "have told me so."
"Be gone!" Elena barked, forming a symbol with her fingers. A bright blue light burst from her hands. Cain howled as it bit into him, the light slashing his shadow body into ribbons. Then it was gone, leaving the swirling crowd of the dead and damned, and Elena still before them. They charged, but she blasted them back with that golden shield, panting through her gritted teeth. Elena then dropped to her knees and grabbed Selena by the shoulders.
"The poison is almost gone," Elena said.
The world grew less dark. Selena could see cracks of sunlight. Selena nodded, pain replacing panic. She could feel the coldness of winter, feel her aching leg and the warm stickiness of her own blood all over her body. Why was Elena here, and what was Nehemia doing at the edge of the circle, her hands moving about so strangely?
"Stand," Elena said.
She was becoming translucent. Her hands drifted from Selena's cheeks, and a white light filled the sky. The poison left Selena's body. Cain, once again a man of flesh and blood, walked over to the sprawled assassin. Pain, 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 pain from her leg, from her head, from her shoulder and arm and ribs.
"Stand,"
Elena whispered again, and was gone. The world appeared. Cain was close, not a trace of shadow around him. Selena lifted the jagged remnant of the staff in her hand. Her gaze cleared. And so, struggling and shaking, Selena stood. Chapter 50. Selena's right leg could barely support her, but she gritted her teeth and rose. She squared her shoulders as Cain halted. The wind caressed her face and swept her hair back behind her in a billowing sheet of gold.
"I will not be afraid."
A mark burned on her forehead in blinding blue light.
"What's that on your face?"
Cain asked. The king rose, his brows narrowed, and nearby Nehemia gasped. With her aching, almost useless arm, she wiped the blood from her mouth. Cain growled as he swung his sword, making to behead her. Selena shot forward, as fast as an arrow of Diana. Cain's eyes went wide as she buried the jagged end of the staff in his right side, exactly where Kaol had said he would be unguarded. Blood poured onto her hands as she yanked it out, and Cain staggered back, clutching his ribs. She forgot pain, forgot fear, forgot the tyrant who stared at the burning mark on her head with dark eyes. She leapt back a step and sliced open Cain's arm with the broken end of the staff, ripping through muscle and sinew. He swatted at her with his other arm, but she moved aside, cutting the limb as well. He lunged, but she dashed away. Cain sprawled upon the ground. She slammed her foot into his back, and as he lifted his head, he found the knife-sharp remnant of the staff pressed against his neck. "Move, and I'll spill your throat on the ground," she said, her jaw aching. Cain went still, and for a moment she could have sworn his eyes glowed like coals. For a heartbeat, she considered killing him right there, so he couldn't tell anyone what he knew. About her, about her parents, about the word marks and their power. If the king knew any of that. Her hand trembled with the effort to keep from driving the spearhead into his neck, but Selena lifted her bruised face to the king. The councilmen began nervously clapping. None of them had seen the spectacle. None of them had seen the shadows in the gusting wind. The king looked her over, and Selena willed herself to remain upright, to stand tall as he judged. She felt each second of silence like a blow to her gut. Was he considering whether there was a way out? After what seemed to be a lifetime, the king spoke.
"My son's champion is the victor," the king growled.
The world spun beneath her feet. She'd won. She'd won. She was free, or as close to it as she could come. She would become the king's champion, and then she would be free. It came crashing down upon her, and Selena dropped the bloody remnant of the staff on the ground as she removed her foot from Cain's back. She limped away, her breathing hard and ragged. She'd been saved. Elena had saved her. And she had won. Nehemia was exactly where she'd been standing before, smiling faintly, only the princess collapsed, and her bodyguards rushed to her side. Selena made a move to her friend, but her legs gave out, and she fell to the tiles. Dorian, as if released from a spell, dashed to her, throwing himself to his knees beside her, murmuring her name again and again. But she barely heard him. Huddled on the ground, hot tears slid down Selena's face. She'd won. Through the pain, Selena began laughing. As the assassin laughed quietly to herself, head bowed to the ground, Dorian surveyed her body. The cut along her thigh wouldn't stop bleeding. Her arm hung limp, and her face and arms were a patchwork of cuts and rapidly forming bruises. Cain, his features set with fury, stood not too far behind, blood seeping through his fingers as he clutched his side. Let him suffer. "She needs a healer," he said to his father. The king said nothing. "You, boy," Dorian snapped to a page. "Fetch a healer, as fast as you can." Dorian found it difficult to breathe. He should have stopped it when Cain first hit her. He should have done something other than watch when she had so clearly been drugged. She would have helped him. She wouldn't have hesitated. Kaol even had helped her. He'd knelt down beside the edge of the ring. And who had drugged her? Carefully putting his arms around Selena, Dorian glanced toward Kaltain and Parrington. In doing so, he missed the look exchanged between Cain and his father. The soldier pulled out his dagger. But Kaol saw. Cain raised his dagger to strike the girl in the back. Without thinking, without understanding, Kaol leapt between them and plunged his sword through Cain's heart. Blood erupted everywhere, showering Kaol's arms, his head, his clothes. The blood reeked, somehow, of death and decay. Cain fell, hitting the ground hard. The world became silent. Kaol watched the last breath issue from Kane's mouth, watched him die. When it was over and Kane's eyes stopped seeing him, Kaol's sword clattered to the ground. He dropped to his knees beside Kane but didn't touch him. What had he done? Kaol couldn't stop staring at his blood-soaked hands. He'd killed him.
Kaol?
Dorian breathed. In his arms, Selena had gone utterly still.
What have I done?
Kaol asked him. Selena made a small noise and began shaking. Two guards helped lift him up, but Kaol could only stare at his bloody hands as they helped him away. Dorian watched his friend disappear into the castle, and then returned to the assassin. His father was already yelling about something. She trembled so badly that her wounds leaked further.
He shouldn't have killed him. Now he...
She let out a gasping breath.
She saved me, she said, burying her face in his chest. Dorian, she took the poison out of me. She... Oh, gods, I don't even know what happened.
Dorian had no idea what she was speaking about, but he held her tighter. Dorian felt the eyes of the council upon them, weighing and considering every word out of her mouth, every move or reaction of his. Damning the council to hell, Dorian kissed her hair. The mark on her brow had faded. What had that meant? What had any of it meant? Kane had touched a nerve in her today. When he had mentioned her parents, she'd lost control entirely. He'd never seen her that wild, that frantic. He hated himself for not acting, for standing like a damned coward. He would make it up to her. He would see to it that she was freed, and after that... After that. She didn't fight him when he carried her to her rooms, instructing the physician to follow. He was done with politics and intrigue. He loved her, and no empire, no king, and no earthly fear would keep him from her. No. If they tried to take her from him, he'd rip the world apart with his bare hands. And for some reason, that didn't terrify him. Kaltane watched in despair and bewilderment as Dorian carried the weeping assassin in his arms. How had she beaten Kane when she'd been drugged? Why was she not dead? Seated beside the glowering king, Parrington fumed. The councilman scribbled on paper. Kaltane drew the empty vial from her pocket. Hadn't the Duke given her enough bloodbane to seriously impair the assassin? Why wasn't Dorian crying over her corpse? Why wasn't she holding Dorian, comforting him? The pain in her head erupted, so violent that her vision went obsidian, and she stopped thinking clearly. Kaltane approached the Duke and hissed in his ear. I thought you said this would work! She fought to keep her voice in a whisper. I thought you said this damned drug would work! The king and the duke stared at her, and the councilman exchanged glances as Kaltane straightened. Then, slowly, the duke rose from his seat.
What is that in your hand?
The duke asked a bit too loudly.
You know what it is,
she seethed, still trying to keep her voice down, even as the pain in her head turned into a thunderous roar. She could scarcely think straight. She could only answer to the fury inside her.
The damned poison I gave her,
she murmured, only so Parrington could hear.
Poison?
Parrington asked, so loud Kaltane's eyes grew wide.
You poisoned her? Why would you do that?
He motioned to three guards.
Why did the king not speak? Why did he not come to her aid?
Parrington had given her the poison based on the king's command, hadn't he? The council members looked at her accusingly, whispering among themselves.
You gave it to me, she said to the duke.
Parrington's orange brows furrowed.
What are you talking about?
Kaltane started forward.
You scheming son of a harlot!
Restrain her, please,
the duke said blandly, calmly, as if she were no more than a hysterical servant, as if she were nobody.
I told you, the duke said into the king's ear, that she'd do anything to get the crown.
The words were lost as she was dragged away. There was nothing, no emotion at all in the duke's face. He had played her for a fool.
Kaltane struggled against the guards. Your Majesty, please! His Grace told me that you...
The duke merely looked away.
I'll kill you!
She screamed at Parrington.
She turned to the king, beseechingly, but he, too, looked away, his face crumpled with distaste. He wouldn't listen to anything she said, no matter what the truth was. Parrington had been planning this for too long, and she'd played right into his hands. He'd acted the besotted fool only to plunge a dagger into her back. Caltaine kicked and thrashed against the guard's grip, but the king's table became smaller and smaller. As she reached the doors to the castle, the duke grinned at her, and her dreams shattered. Chapter 51 The next morning, Dorian kept his chin high as his father stared at him. He didn't lower his gaze, no matter how many silent seconds ticked by. After his father had allowed Cain to toy with and hurt Selena for so long, when she'd clearly been drugged. It was a miracle Dorian hadn't snapped yet, but he needed this audience with his father.
"Well?" asked the king at last.
"I wish to know what will happen to Kaol, for killing Cain." His father's black eyes gleamed.
"What do you think should happen to him?"
"Nothing," said Dorian. "I think he killed him to defend the assassin."
"You think the life of an assassin is worth more than that of a soldier?"
Dorian's sapphire gaze darkened. "No, but I believe there was no honor in stabbing her in the back after she'd won. And if he ever found out that Parrington or his father had sanctioned it, or somehow played a hand in Caltaine drugging her..." Dorian's hands clenched into fists at his sides.
"Honor?" The King of Otterland stroked his beard. "And would you have slain me if I tried to kill her in such a manner?"
"You're my father," he said carefully. "I would trust that the choice you made was correct."
"What a cunning liar you are, almost as good as Parrington."
"So you won't punish Kaol?"
"I see no reason why I should rid myself of a perfectly capable captain of the guard."
Dorian sighed. "Thank you, father." The gratitude in his eyes was genuine.
"Is there anything else?"
asked the king offhandedly. Dorian glanced at the window, then back at his father, steeling his nerve once more. The second reason he'd come. "I want to know what you're going to do with the assassin," he said. And his father smiled in a way that made Dorian's blood run cold.
"The assassin," his father mused. "She was rather disgraceful at the duel. I don't know if I can have a blubbering woman as my champion, poison or no. If she'd been really good, she would have noticed the poison before she drank. Perhaps I should send her back to Endovir."
Dorian's temper flared with dizzying speed. "You're wrong about her," he began, but then shook his head. "You'll not see her otherwise, no matter what I tell you."
"Why should I see an assassin as anything but a monster? I brought her here to do my bidding, not to meddle in the life of my son and empire."
Dorian bared his teeth. He'd never dared look at his father like this. It thrilled him, and as his father slowly sat down, Dorian wondered if the king was considering whether he had become a genuine concern. To Dorian's surprise, he realized that he didn't care. Perhaps the time had come for him to start questioning his father. "She's not a monster," Dorian said. "Everything she's done, she did to survive."
"Survive? Is that the lie she told you? She could have done anything to survive, but she chose killing. She enjoyed killing. She has you at her beck and call, doesn't she? Oh, how clever she is. What a politician she'd have made if she'd been born a man."
A deep-throated growl rippled from Dorian.
"You don't know what you're talking about. I have no attachment to her."
But in that one sentence, Dorian made his mistake, and he knew that his father had found his new weak spot, the overwhelming terror that Selena would be ripped from him. His hands slackened at his sides. The King of Otterland looked at the Crown Prince.
"I shall send her my contract whenever I get around to it."
"Until then, you'd do well to keep your mouth shut about it, boy."
Dorian drowned in the cold rage that lay inside of him. Yet an image came vividly to his mind. Nehemia handing Selena her staff at the duel. Nehemia was no fool. Like him, she knew that symbols held a special kind of power.
Though Selena might be his father's champion, she had gained the title using a weapon from Eelway. And while Nehemia might be playing a game that she had no chance of winning, Dorian couldn't deny that he greatly admired the princess for daring to play in the first place. Perhaps he might someday work up the nerve to demand retribution for what his father had done to those rebels in Eelway. Not today. Not yet. But maybe he could make a start. So he faced his father and kept his head held high as he said, "Parrington wishes to use Nehemia as some sort of hostage in order to make the Eelway rebels obey." His father cocked his head. "Does he know? It's an interesting idea. Do you agree?" Though Dorian's palms began sweating, he schooled his features into neutrality as he said, "No, I don't. I think we're better than that."
"Are we? Do you know how many soldiers and supplies I've lost thanks to those rebels?"
"I do. But to use Nehemia like that is too risky. The rebels might use it to gain allies in other kingdoms, and Nehemia is beloved by her people. If you're worried about losing soldiers and supplies, then you'll lose far more if Parrington's plan ignites a full-on rebellion in Eelway. We'd be better off trying to win over Nehemia, trying to work with her to get the rebels to back off. That won't happen if we hold her hostage." Silence fell, and Dorian tried not to fidget as his father studied him. Every heartbeat felt like a hammer striking his body. At last, his father nodded.
"I shall order Parrington to stop his planning, then."
Dorian almost sagged with relief, but he kept his face blank, kept his words steady as he said, "Thank you for hearing me out." His father didn't reply, and without waiting for his dismissal, the prince turned on his heel and left. Selena tried not to wince at the pain that shot through her shoulder and leg as she awoke. Swaddled in blankets and bandages, she glanced at the clock on the mantelpiece. It was almost 1 in the afternoon. Her jaw hurt as she opened her mouth. Selena didn't need a mirror to know that she was covered in nasty bruises. She frowned, and her face throbbed at the movement. Undoubtedly, she looked hideous. She tried unsuccessfully to sit up. Everything hurt. Her arm was in a sling, and her thigh stung as her legs moved under the covers. She didn't remember much of what had happened after the duel yesterday, but at least she wasn't dead, either by Cain or the king's order. Her dreams last night had been filled with Nehemia and Elena, though more often than not, they disappeared into visions of demons and the dead. And those things Cain had said. The nightmares were so terrible that Selena barely slept, despite her pain and exhaustion. She wondered what had become of Elena's amulet. She had a feeling that the nightmares were due to its absence, and wished repeatedly for it to be restored to her, even though Cain was now dead. The door to her chambers opened, and she found Nehemia standing in the doorway. The princess only smiled slightly at her as she closed the bedroom door and approached. Fleetfoot lifted her head, her tail slapping against the bed as she wagged it in earnest.
"Hello," Selena said in Eelway. "How are you feeling?"
Nehemia replied in the common tongue, without a hint of her accent. Fleetfoot climbed over Selena's sore legs to greet the princess.
"Exactly how I look," Selena said,
her mouth aching at the movement. Nehemia took a seat on the edge of the mattress. As it shifted beneath her, Selena winced. Recovery wasn't going to be easy. Fleetfoot, done licking and sniffing at Nehemia, curled up in a ball between them and went to sleep. Selena buried her fingers in her velvet-soft ears.
"I won't waste time dancing around the truth," Nehemia said. "I saved your life at the duel."
She had a hazy memory of Nehemia's fingers making strange symbols in the air.
"I didn't hallucinate all of that? And you saw everything, too?"
Selena tried to sit up a little higher, but found it too painful to even move an inch.
"No, you didn't," the princess said. "And yes, I saw everything that you saw. My gifts enable me to see what others normally cannot. Yesterday, the bloodbane Caltaine put in your wine made you see it, too. What lurks beyond the veil of this world? I don't think Caltaine intended that effect, but it reacted to your blood in that way. Magic calls to magic."
Selena shifted uncomfortably at the words.
"Why did you pretend to not understand our language all these months?"
Selena asked, eager to change the subject, but also wondering why the question stung as much as her wounds.
"It was originally a defense,"
Nehemia said, gently setting her hand on Selena's good arm.
"You'd be surprised how much people are willing to reveal when they think you can't understand them. But with each day that I pretended to not know anything, being around you became harder and harder."
"But why make me give you lessons?" Nehemia looked up at the ceiling.
"Because I wanted a friend. Because I liked you."
"So you truly were reading that book when I came across you in the library?" Nehemia nodded.
I was doing research. On the word marks, as you call them in your language. I lied to you when I said I didn't know anything about them. I know all about them. I know how to read them. And how to use them.
My entire family does, but we keep it a secret, passed down from generation to generation. They are only to be used as a last defense against evil, or in the gravest of illnesses. And here, with magic banned, well, even though the word marks are a different kind of power, I'm sure that if people discovered I was using them, I'd be imprisoned for it. Selena tried to sit up straighter, cursing herself for being unable to move without wanting to faint from pain.
"You were using them?"
Nehemia nodded gravely.
"We keep them a secret because of the terrible power that they wield. Terrible in that it can be used for good or evil, though most have used their power for wicked deeds. Since the moment I arrived here, I was aware that someone was using the word marks to call forth demons from the other worlds, realms beyond our realm. That fool Cain knew enough about the word marks to summon the creatures, but didn't know how to control them and send them back. I've spent months banishing and destroying the creatures he summoned. That is why I've sometimes been so absent."
Shame burned on Selena's cheeks. How could she ever have believed Nehemia was the one killing the champions? Selena lifted her right hand so she could see the scars on it.
"That was why you didn't ask questions the night my hand was bitten. You used the word marks to heal me."
"I still don't know how or where you came across the Ritterak, but I think that's a tale for another time." Nehemia clicked her tongue.
"The marks you found under your bed were drawn by me."
Selena jolted a bit at that. She hissed as her body gave a collective, miserable throb of pain.
"Those symbols are for protection. You have no idea what a nuisance it was to have to keep redrawing them every time you washed them away."
A smile tugged on the edges of Nehemia's full lips.
"Without them, I think the Ritterak would have been drawn to you far sooner."
"Why?"
"Because Cain hated you, of course, and wanted to eliminate you from the competition. I wish he weren't dead, so I might ask him where he learned to rip open portals like that. When the poison made you hover between worlds, his very presence somehow brought those creatures to the in-between to shred you apart. Though after all he's done, I think he deserved Kaol running him through like that."
Selena looked toward the bedroom door. She still hadn't seen Kaol since yesterday. Had the king punished him for all that he had done to help her?
"That man cares for you more than either of you realize,"
Nehemia said, a smile in her voice. Selena's face burned. Nehemia cleared her throat.
"I suppose you wish to know how I saved you."
"If you're so willing," Selena said, and the princess grinned.
"With the word marks, I was able to open a portal into one of the realms of the other world, and let through Elena, first queen of Otterlin."
"You know her?" Selena raised an eyebrow.
"No, but she answered my call for help. Not all realms are full of darkness and death. Some are filled with creatures of good, beings that, if our need is great enough, will follow us into Aurelia to help in our task. She heard your plea for help long before I opened the portal."
Is it possible to go to these other worlds?"
Selena vaguely recalled the word gates that she'd stumbled across in that book months and months ago.
Nehemia studied her carefully.
"I don't know. My schooling isn't yet completed. But the queen was both in and not in this world. She was in the in-between, where she could not fully cross over, nor could the creatures that you saw.
It takes an enormous amount of power to open a true portal to let something through. And even then, the portal will close after a moment. Cain could open it long enough for the Ritterak to come through, but then it would shut. So I had to open it long enough to send it back. We've been playing a cat-and-mouse game for months. She rubbed her temples. You have no idea how exhausting it's been.
Cain summoned all of those things at the duel, didn't he?
Nehemia contemplated the question.
Perhaps. They might have already been waiting. But I could only see them because of the bloodbane that Kaltain gave me? I don't know, Alentia.
Nehemia sighed and stood.
All I know is that Cain knew the secrets of my people's power. Power that has long been forgotten in the lands of the north. And that troubles me.
At least he's dead, Selena offered, then swallowed. But in that place, Cain didn't look like Cain. He looked like a demon.
Why?
Perhaps the evil he kept summoning seeped into his soul and twisted him into something he was not.
He talked about me, like he knew everything.
Selena clenched the blankets. Something flickered in Nehemia's gaze.
Sometimes the wicked will tell us things just to confuse us, to haunt our thoughts long after we've faced them.
He would be delighted to know you're still fretting over whatever nonsense he said. Nehemia patted her hand.
Don't give him the satisfaction of knowing that he's still troubling you. Put those thoughts from your mind.
At least the king doesn't know about any of this. I can't imagine what he'd do if he had access to that kind of power.
I can imagine a great deal,
Nehemia said softly.
Do you know what the word mark is that burned on your forehead?
Selena stiffened.
No. Do you?
Nehemia gave her a weighing look.
No, I do not, but I have seen it there before. It seems to be a part of you, and I do worry what the king thinks of it. It's a miracle he hasn't questioned it further.
Selena's blood went cold, and Nehemia quickly added,
Don't worry. If he wanted to question you, he would have done it already.
Selena let out a shuddering breath. Why are you really here, Nehemia? The princess was quiet for a moment.
I will not claim ties of allegiance to the King of Otterlin. You know this already.
And I'm not afraid to tell you that I came to Rifthold only for the excellent view it offered of his movements, of his plans.
You truly came here to spy?
Selena whispered.
If you want to put it that way.
There is nothing I wouldn't do for my country. No sacrifice too great to keep my people alive and out of slavery, to keep another massacre from happening. Pain flickered across her eyes.
Selena's heart twisted.
You're the bravest person I've ever met. Nehemia stroked Fleetfoot's coat. My love for Eowe drowns out my fear of the King of Otterlin. But I will not involve you, Alentia. Selena almost sighed with relief, though it shamed her to feel that way. Our paths might be intertwined, but I think you must continue to travel your own road for now. Adjust to your new position. Selena nodded and cleared her throat. I won't tell anyone about your powers. Nehemia smiled sadly.
And there shall be no more secrets between us. When you are better, I'd like to hear how you got entangled with Elena.
She glanced down at Fleetfoot.
Do you mind if I take her for a walk? I need to feel the wind on my face today.
Of course, Selena said. She's been cooped up here all morning. As if the dog understood, she jumped off the bed and sat at Nehemia's feet.
I'm glad to have you as my friend, Alentia,
the princess said. I'm even gladder to have you guarding my back, Selena said, fighting a yawn.
Thank you for saving my life. Twice now, actually.
Or perhaps more. Selena frowned.
Do I even want to know how many times you secretly saved me from one of Cain's creatures? Not if you want to sleep tonight.
Nehemia kissed the top of her head before walking to the door, Fleetfoot in tow. The princess paused in the doorway, though, and tossed something to Selena.
This belongs to you.
One of my guards picked it up after the duel. It was the Eye of Elena. Selena wrapped a hand around the hard metal of the amulet.
Thank you.
When Nehemia had left, Selena smiled, despite all that she had just learned, and closed her eyes. The amulet gripped in her hand.
she slept more soundly than she had in months. Chapter 52. Selena awoke the next day, unsure what time it was. There had been a knock on her door, and she blinked the sleep from her eyes in time to see Dorian enter. He stared at her for a moment from the doorway, and she managed a smile.
"Hello,"
she said hoarsely. She remembered him carrying her, holding her down as the healers stitched her leg. He came forward, his steps heavy.
"You look even worse today,"
he whispered. Despite the pain, Selena sat up.
"I'm fine,"
she lied. She wasn't. Kane had cracked one of her ribs, and it ached every time she breathed. He clenched his jaw, staring out the window.
"What's the matter with you?"
she asked. She tried to reach out to grab his jacket, but it hurt too much, and he was too far.
I don't know, he said.
The vacant, lost look in his eyes increased the tempo of her heart.
"I haven't been able to sleep since the duel."
"Here,"
she said as gently as she could, patting a space beside her.
"Come sit."
Obediently, he sat, though he kept his back to her as he put his head in his hands and took several deep breaths. Selena gingerly touched his back. He stiffened, and she almost pulled away. But his spine relaxed, and he continued his controlled breathing.
"Are you ill?"
she asked.
"No,"
he mumbled.
"Dorian?
What happened?"
"What do you mean, what happened?"
he said, keeping his face in his hands.
"One minute you were walloping Grave, and the next Kane was beating the living daylights out of you."
"You lost sleep because of that?"
I can't...
He groaned. She gave him a moment, letting him sort through his thoughts.
"I'm sorry,"
he said, removing his hands from his face and straightening. She nodded. She wouldn't push him.
"How are you truly feeling?"
The fear still lay beneath his words.
"Awful,"
she said cautiously, "and I suspect I look as bad as I feel." He smiled slightly. He was trying to fight it, whatever feeling had been hounding him.
"I've never seen you look lovelier."
He eyed the bed.
"Do you mind if I lie down? I'm exhausted."
She didn't object as he removed his boots and unbuttoned his jacket. With a groan, he stretched out beside her, putting his hands on his stomach. She watched him close his eyes and let out a long breath through his nose. Some semblance of normalcy returned to his face.
"How's Kaol?"
she asked, tensing. She remembered the spray of blood in his staring, horrified face. Dorian opened an eye.
"He'll be fine. He took yesterday and today off. I think he needs it."
Selena's heart tightened.
"You shouldn't feel responsible,"
he said, turning onto his side to look directly into her face.
"He did what he saw fit."
"Yes, but..."
"No," insisted Dorian. "Kaol knew what he was doing."
He brushed a finger down her cheek. His finger was icy, but she held it in her shiver.
"I'm sorry,"
he said again, taking his finger from her face.
"I'm sorry I didn't save you."
"What are you talking about? That is what you've been agonizing over?"
"I'm sorry I didn't stop Kane the moment I knew something was wrong. Kaltane drugged you, and I should have known... I should have found a way to prevent her from doing it. And when I realized you were hallucinating, I'm sorry I didn't find a way to stop it."
Green skin and yellow fangs flashed before her eyes, and Selena's aching fingers curled into a fist.
"You shouldn't be sorry,"
she said, not wanting to speak about the horrors that she'd seen, or of Kaltane's treachery, or what Nehemia had confided in her.
"You did as anyone would have, should have done. If you'd interfered, I would have been disqualified."
"I should have sliced Kane open the moment he laid a hand on you. Instead, I stood there as Kaol knelt at the sidelines. I should have been the one to kill Kane."
The demons faded, and a smirk spread.
"You're starting to sound like an assassin, my friend."
"Perhaps I spend too much time around you."
Selena moved her head from the pillow to rest in the soft space between his shoulder and chest. Heat rushed through her, though her body almost seized up in agony as she turned over. Selena put her injured hand on his stomach. Dorian's breath was warm on her head, and she smiled as he brought his arm around her, cupping her shoulder. They were silent for a while.
Dorian?
She began, and he flicked her on the nose. Ow, she said, wrinkling her nose. Though her face was peppered with bruises, miraculously, Kane hadn't marred her in any permanent way, though the cut on the leg would leave yet another scar.
Yes,
he said, resting his chin on her head. She listened to the sound of his heart beating, the steadiness of it.
When you retrieved me from Endovir, did you actually think I'd win?
Of course. Why else would I have bothered to journey so far to find you?
She snorted onto his chest, but he gently lifted her chin. His eyes were familiar, like something she'd forgotten.
I knew you'd win the moment I met you,
he whispered, and her heart writhed as she understood what lay before them. Though I'll admit that I didn't quite see this coming. And no matter how frivolous and twisted that competition was, I'm grateful it brought you into my life. As long as I live, I'll always be thankful for that. Do you intend to make me cry, or are you just foolish? Dorian leaned forward and kissed her. It made her jaw hurt. Seated on his glass throne, the King of Otterland stroked Nothung's pommel. Parrington knelt before him, waiting. Let him wait. Though the assassin was his champion, he had yet to send her contract. She was close with both his son and Princess Nehemia. Would appointing her somehow be a risk? But the captain of the guard trusted the assassin well enough to save her life. The king's face became like stone. He wouldn't punish Kaol Westfall, if only to avoid Dorian raising hell in the captain's defense. If only Dorian had been born a soldier, not a reader. But there was a man somewhere in Dorian, a man who could be honed into a warrior. Perhaps a few months at the battlefront would do him some good. A helmet and a sword could do wondrous things to a young man's temperament. And after that show of will and power in his throne room, Dorian could be a strong general, if he was pushed. And as for the assassin, once her injuries were healed, what better person to have at his bidding? Besides, there were no others in whom he could place his trust. Selena Sardothian was his best and only choice now that Kane was dead. The king traced a mark on the glass arm of his seat. He was well versed in word marks, but he'd never seen one like hers. He would find out. And if it were an indication of some fell deed or prophecy, he'd have the girl hanging by nightfall. Seeing her thrash about while drugged had almost convinced him to order her death. But then he'd felt them. Felt the angry and furious eyes of the dead. Someone had interfered and saved her. And if these creatures both protected and attacked her, perhaps she was not a person to die at his command. Not before he discovered the meaning of her mark. For now, though, he had more important things to worry about.
Your manipulation of Keltane was interesting, said the king at last.
Parrington remained kneeling.
Were you using the power on her?
No. I've relaxed it recently, as you suggested, the duke replied, rotating the obsidian ring around his thick finger. Besides, she was starting to look noticeably affected, drained and pale, and she even mentioned the headaches. The treachery of Lady Keltane was disturbing, but had he known of Parrington's plan to reveal her character, even to prove how easily she'd adapt to their plans and how strong her determination ran, he would have prevented it. Such a public revelation only brought about irritating questions.
It was clever of you to experiment on her.
She's become a strong ally and still suspects nothing of our influence.
I have high hopes for this power,
the king confided, looking at his own black ring.
Kane proved the physical transformative effects, and Keltane proves the ability to influence thoughts and emotions. I would like to test its full ability to hone the minds of a few others.
Part of me wishes Keltane hadn't been so susceptible, grumbled Parrington. She wanted to use me to get to your son, but I don't want the power to turn her into Kane. Despite myself, I don't like the thought of her rotting in those dungeons for long.
Do not fear for Keltane, my friend. She won't remain in the dungeons forever. When the scandal has been forgotten and the assassin is busy with my work, we'll make Keltane an offer she can't refuse. But there are ways of controlling her if you think she can't be trusted.
Let's first see how the dungeons change her mind, Parrington said quickly.
Of course, it's only a suggestion.
They were silent, and the Duke rose.
Duke, the king said, his voice echoing through the chamber.
The fire in the mouth-shaped fireplace flickered, and the green light filled the shadows of the room.
We will soon have much to do in Aurelia.
Prepare yourself,
and stop pushing your plan to use the Ilway princess. It's attracting too much attention.
The Duke only nodded, bowed, and strode out of the chamber. Chapter 53 Selena leaned back in her seat and propped her feet on the table, balancing the chair precariously on its hind legs. She savored the stretch and release of tension in her stiff muscles and turned the page in the book she was holding aloft. Fleetfoot dozed beneath the table, snoring faintly. Outside, the sunny afternoon had transformed the snow into dripping, shimmering water that cast light about the whole bedroom. Her injuries had stopped being so irksome, but she still couldn't walk without limping. With any luck, she'd start running again soon. It had been a week since the duel. Philippa was already busy with the task of cleaning out Selena's closet to accommodate more clothing. All the clothing Selena planned to buy when she was free to venture into Rifthold and do some shopping for herself, once she had her outrageous salary as King's Champion, which she'd hopefully start receiving as soon as she signed her contract, whenever that would be. With Philippa occupied, Nehemia and Dorian had taken to attending her, and the prince often read aloud to her long into the night. When she finally did sleep, her dreams were filled with archaic words and long-forgotten faces, with word marks that glowed blue, with the king, and with a dead army summoned from the realms of hell. Upon waking, she did her best to forget them, especially the magic. Her doorknob clicked, and her heart leapt into her throat. Was it time to finally sign her contract with the king? But it wasn't Dorian or Nehemia, not even a page. The world stopped when Kaol entered instead. Fleetfoot rushed to him, tail wagging. Selena almost fell out of her chair as she removed her feet from the table and winced at the pain that shot through the wound on her leg. She was standing in an instant, but when she opened her mouth, she had nothing to say. After Kaol gave Fleetfoot a friendly rub on the head, the dog trotted back beneath the table, circled twice, and curled up. Why wouldn't he move from the doorway? Selena glanced at her nightgown and blushed as she noticed him staring at her bare legs.
How are your injuries? He asked.
His voice was soft, and she realized he wasn't staring at the amount of skin she was showing, but rather the bandage wrapped around her thigh. I'm all right, she said quickly. The bandage is just to elicit sympathy now. She tried to smile, but failed. I haven't seen you in a week. It had felt like a lifetime. Are you all right? His brown eyes met hers. Suddenly she was back at the duel, prostrate on the ground, Kane laughing behind her. But all she could see, all she could hear was Kaol as he knelt and reached for her. Her throat tightened. She had understood something in that moment, but she couldn't remember what. Maybe it had been a hallucination, too.
I'm fine, he said.
And she took a step toward him, all too aware of how short her nightgown was.
I just wanted to apologize for not checking in on you sooner.
She stopped barely a foot away from him and cocked her head. He wasn't wearing his sword. I'm sure you've been busy, she said. He only stood there. She swallowed and tucked a strand of her unbound hair behind an ear. She took another step closer to him, now having to tip her head back to look into his face.
His eyes were so sorrowful.
She bit her lip. You saved my life, you know. Twice. Kaol's brows narrowed slightly.
I did what I had to.
And that's why I owe you my gratitude.
You don't owe me anything,
he said, his voice strained, and when his eyes flickered, her heart tightened. She took his hand in hers, but he pulled it away.
I just wanted to see how you were. I have to go to a meeting, he said, and she knew he was lying.
Thank you for killing Kane. He stiffened. I still remember how it felt when I made my first kill. It wasn't easy. He dropped his gaze to the floor.
That's why I can't stop thinking about it. Because it was easy. I just took my sword and killed him. I wanted to kill him.
He pinned her with his stare.
He knew about your parents. How?
I don't know, she lied. She knew very well. Kane's access to the other worlds, to the in-between, to whatever all that nonsense was, had given him the ability to see into her mind, her memories, her soul. Beyond, perhaps. A chill went through her.
Kaol's face softened.
I'm sorry they died like that.
She shut down everything but her voice as she said, It was very long ago. It had been raining, and I thought the dampness on their bed as I climbed in was from the open window. I awoke the next morning and realized it wasn't rain. She took a jagged breath, one that erased the feeling of their blood on her skin. Arob and Hommel found me soon after that.
I'm still sorry, he said.
It was very long ago, she repeated. I don't even remember what they looked like. That was another lie. She remembered every detail of her parents' faces. Sometimes I forget that they ever existed. He nodded, more to confirm that he'd heard her than that he understood. What you did for me, Kaol. She tried again, not even with Kane, but when you—
I have to go,
he interrupted, and half turned away. Kaol, she said, grabbing his hand and whirling him to face her. She saw only the haunted gleam in his eyes before she threw her arms around his neck and held him tightly. He strained, but she crushed her body into his, even though it still aggravated her wounds to do so. Then, after a moment, his arms wrapped around her, keeping her close to him, so close that as she shut her eyes and breathed him in, she couldn't tell where he ended and she began. His breath was warm on her neck as he bent his head, resting his cheek against her hair. Her heart beat so quickly, and yet she felt utterly calm, as if she could have stayed there forever and not minded. Stayed there forever and let the world fall apart around them. She pictured his fingers, pushing against that line of chalk, reaching for her despite the barrier between them.
Is everything all right?
Dorian's voice sounded from the doorway.
Kaol pulled away from her so fast that she nearly stumbled back. Everything's fine, he said, squaring his shoulders.
The air had turned cold, and Selena's skin prickled as his warmth vacated her body. She had a hard time looking at Dorian, as Kaol nodded to the prince and left her chambers. Dorian faced her as Kaol left. But Selena remained watching the door, even after Kaol had it shut behind him.
I don't think he's recovered well from killing Kane, Dorian said.
Obviously, she snapped. Dorian raised his brows and she sighed. I'm sorry.
You two looked like you were in the middle of something, Dorian said cautiously.
It's nothing, I just felt bad for him is all.
I wish he hadn't run off that quickly. I have some good news.
Her stomach twisted.
My father stopped dragging his feet about drawing up your contract. You're to sign it in his council chamber tomorrow.
You mean I'm officially the king's champion?
It turns out he doesn't hate you as much as he let on. It's a miracle he didn't make you wait longer.
Dorian winked. 4 years.
4 years of servitude, and then she'd be free.
Why had Kaol left so soon? She looked to the door, wondering if she could catch him in the hall.
Dorian put his hands on her waist.
I suppose this means we'll be stuck with each other for a while longer.
He lowered his face to hers. He kissed her, but she stepped out of his arms. Dorian, I'm the king's champion.
She choked on a laugh as she said it.
Yes, you are,
Dorian replied, approaching her again. But she kept her distance as she looked out the window, to the dazzling day beyond. The world was wide open, and hers for the taking. She could step over that white line. She shifted her gaze to him. I can't be with you if I'm the king's champion.
Of course you can. We'll still have to keep it a secret, but—
I have enough secrets. I don't need another one.
So I'll find a way to tell my father and mother.
He winced slightly.
To what end? Dorian, I'm your father's minion. You're the crown prince.
It was true. And if this relationship became something more, then it would only complicate matters when she eventually left the castle.
not to mention the complications of being with Dorian while she served as his father's champion. And whether he admitted it or not, Dorian had his own obligations to fulfill. Though she wanted him, though she cared for him, she knew a lasting relationship wouldn't end well. Not when he was the heir to the throne. His eyes darkened.
Are you saying that you don't want to be with me?
I'm saying that I'm going to leave in 4 years, and I don't know how this could possibly end well for either of us. I'm saying I don't want to think about the options.
The sunlight warmed her skin, and the weight around her shoulders drifted away.
I'm saying that in 4 years I'm going to be free, and I've never been free in my entire life.
Her smile grew.
And I want to know what that feels like.
He opened his mouth, but stopped as he beheld her smile. Though she had no regrets about her choice, she felt something strangely like disappointment when he said,
As you wish.
But I'd like to remain your friend.
He put his hands in his pockets.
Always.
She thought about touching his arm, or about kissing his cheek, but free kept echoing through her again and again and again, and she couldn't stop smiling. He rolled his neck, and his smile was a bit strained.
I think Nehemia is on her way here to tell you about the contract. She'll be mad at me for telling you first.
Apologize for me, will you?
He paused when he opened the door, his hand still upon the knob.
Congratulations, Selena, he said quietly.
Before she could reply, he shut the door and left. Alone, Selena looked to the window and put a hand on her heart, whispering the word to herself again and again. Free.
Chapter 54. Several hours later, Kaol stared at the door to her dining room. He didn't entirely know what he was doing back here, but he'd looked for Dorian in his rooms, and he hadn't been there, and he needed to tell him that things weren't as they'd seemed when he walked in on them earlier. He glanced at his hands. The king had barely said anything to him over the past week, and Kane's name hadn't been mentioned in any of their meetings. Not that it would be, as Kane was little more than a pawn in a game to amuse the king, and certainly not a member of the royal guard. But he was still dead. Kane's eyes would open no more because of him. He would not draw breath because of him. His heart had stopped beating because of him. Kael's hand drifted to where his sword should have been. He'd thrown it in the corner of his room as soon as he'd returned from the duel last week. Mercifully, someone had cleaned the blood from it. Perhaps the guards who had taken Kael to his chambers and given him a strong drink. They'd sat in silence until some semblance of reality returned, and then left without a word, not waiting for Kael to thank them. Kael ran a hand through his short hair and opened the dining room door. Selena was picking at her dinner, slouched in her seat. Her brows rose.
2 visits in 1 day, she said, setting down her fork.
To what do I owe this pleasure?
He frowned.
Where's Dorian?
Why would Dorian be here?
I thought he usually came here at this hour.
Well, don't expect to find him here after today.
He approached, stopping at the edge of the table.
Why?
She popped a piece of bread into her mouth.
Because I ended it?
You did what?
I'm the king's champion. Surely you realize how inappropriate it would be for me to have a relationship with a prince.
Her blue eyes glittered, and he wondered at the slight emphasis she put on prince and why it made his heart skip a beat. Kaol fought his own smile.
I was wondering when you'd come to your senses.
Did she fret as he did? Did she constantly think about her blood-covered hands? But for all of her swaggering, for all of her gloating and parading about with hands on her hips, there was still something soft in her face. It gave him hope. Hope that he had not lost his soul in the act of killing. Hope that humanity could still be found, and honor could be regained. She had come out of Andovier and could still laugh. She twirled her hair around a finger. She was still wearing that absurdly short nightgown, which slid up her thighs as she propped her feet on the edge of the table. He focused on her face.
Would you like to join me? She asked, gesturing with one hand to the table. It's a shame for me to celebrate alone.
He looked at her, at that half-grin on her face. Whatever had happened with Kane, whatever had happened at the duel,
That would haunt him. But right now...
He pulled out the chair in front of him and sat down. She filled a goblet with wine and handed it to him. "To 4 years until freedom," she said, lifting her glass. He raised his in salute.
"To you, Selena."
Their eyes met, and Kaol didn't hide his smile as she grinned at him. Perhaps 4 years with her might not be enough. Selena stood in the tomb and knew she was dreaming. She often visited the tomb in her dreams, to slay the Ritterak again, to be trapped inside Elena's sarcophagus, to face a featureless young woman with golden hair and a crown far too heavy for her to bear. But tonight it was just her and Elena, and the tomb was filled with moonlight, not a sign to be seen of the Ritterak's corpse.
"How are you recovering?" the queen asked, leaning against the side of her own sarcophagus.
Selena stayed in the doorway. The queen's armor was gone, replaced by her usual flowing gown. None of the fierceness twisted her features, either. "Fine," Selena said, but glanced down at herself. In this dream world, her injuries were gone. "I didn't know you were a warrior," she said, jerking her chin toward the stand where Damaris stood.
"There are many things history has forgotten about me."
Elena's blue eyes glowed with sorrow and anger.
"I fought on the battlefields during the demon wars against Erewhon, at Gavin's side. That's how we fell in love. But your legends portray me as a damsel who waited in a tower with a magic necklace that would help the heroic prince."
Selena touched the amulet. "I'm sorry."
"You could be different," Elena said quietly. "You could be great, greater than me, than any of us."
Selena opened her mouth, but no words came out. Elena took a step toward her.
"You could rattle the stars," she whispered. "You could do anything, if you only dared. And deep down you know it, too. That's what scares you most."
She walked to Selena, and it was all the assassin could do to keep from backing out of the tomb and running away. The queen's blazing, glacier-blue eyes were as ethereal as her lovely face.
"You found and defeated the evil Cain was bringing into the world. And now you're the king's champion. You did as I asked."
"I did it for my freedom," Selena said. Elena gave her a knowing smile that made her want to scream, but Selena kept her face blank.
"So you say. But when you called for help, when the amulet snapped and you let your need be felt, you knew someone would answer. You knew I would answer."
"Why?" Selena dared ask. "Why answer? Why do I need to be the king's champion?" Elena lifted her face toward the moonlight streaming into the tomb.
"Because there are people who need you to save them as much as you yourself need to be saved," she said. "Deny it all you want, but there are people, your friends, who need you here. Your friend Nehemia needs you here. Because I was sleeping, a long, endless sleep, and I was awoken by a voice. And the voice didn't belong to one person, but to many. Some whispering, some screaming, some not even aware that they were crying out. But they all want the same thing."
She touched the center of Selena's forehead. Heat flared, and a blue light flashed across Elena's face as Selena's mark burned and then faded.
"And when you are ready, when you start to hear them crying out as well, then you will know why I came to you, and why I have stood by you, and will continue to watch over you, no matter how many times you shove me away." Selena's eyes stung, and she took a step back toward the hall.
Elena smiled sadly.
"Until that day comes, you're exactly where you need to be. From the king's side, you'll be able to see what needs to be done. But for now, enjoy the accomplishment."
Selena felt ill at the thought of what else might be asked of her, but she nodded. "Fine," she breathed, making to leave, but paused in the hall. She looked over her shoulder to where the queen still stood, watching her with those sad eyes.
"Thank you for saving my life."
Elena bowed her head.
"Blood ties can't be broken," she whispered,
and then vanished, her words echoing in the silent tomb. Chapter 55. The following day, Selena approached the glass throne, casting a wary glance about the council chamber. It was the same one in which she'd seen the king those many months ago. A greenish fire burned in the mouth-like fireplace, and 13 men sat at a long table, each staring at her. But there were no other champions left. Only her. The victor. Dorian stood beside his father and smiled at her.
Hopefully that's a good sign.
Despite the hope his grin provided, she couldn't ignore the terror that welled in her heart as the king, with dark eyes, watched her walk forward. The gold skirts of her dress were the only sound in the chamber. Selena kept her hands pressed against the maroon bodice, trying not to wring them. She stopped and bowed. Kaol, standing beside her, did the same. The captain stood closer to her than he needed to.
"You have come to sign your contract," the king said, and his voice made her bones splinter.
"How can such a beastly man possess this sort of power over the world?"
"Yes, your majesty," she said as submissively as possible, staring at the man's boots.
"Be my champion, and you'll find yourself a free woman. 4 years of service was the bargain you set with my son, though I cannot imagine why he felt the need to bargain with you,"
he said with a deadly glare in Dorian's direction. Dorian bit his lip, but said nothing. Her heart dropped and rose inside of her like a buoy. She would do whatever the king asked, every foul mission he could throw at her, and then when the 4 years were over, she'd be free to live her own life, without fear of pursuit or enslavement. She could begin again, far away from Otterlin. She could go away and forget this awful kingdom. She didn't know whether to smile, or to laugh, or to nod, or to cry and dance about. She could live off of her fortune until old age. She wouldn't have to kill. She could say goodbye to Aerobin and leave Otterlin forever.
"Aren't you going to thank me?" the king barked.
She dropped into a low bow, barely able to contain her joy. She had defeated him. She had sinned against his empire and now would emerge victorious.
"Thank you for such an honor and gift, your majesty. I am your humble servant."
The king snorted.
"Lying won't help you. Bring the contract forward."
A councilman dutifully placed a piece of parchment on the table before her. She stared at the quill and the blank line where her name was to go. The king's eyes flashed, but she didn't bite. Just one sign of rebellion, one movement of aggression, and he'd hang her.
"There will be no questioning on your part. When I tell you to do something, you will do it. I don't need to explain myself to you. And if you somehow are caught, you will deny any connection to me to your last breath. Is that clear?"
"Perfectly, your majesty."
He strode from the dais. Dorian started to move, but Kaol shook his head. Selena looked at the floor as the king stopped before her.
"Now understand this, assassin,"
the king said. She felt small and frail, so close to him.
"Should you fail any of my tasks, should you forget to return, you will pay dearly."
The king's voice became so soft that even she could barely hear it.
"If you don't return from the missions on which I send you, I'll have your friend, the captain."
He paused for emphasis.
"Killed."
Her eyes were wide as she stared at his empty throne.
"If you fail to return after that, I'll have Nehemia killed. Then I'll have her brothers executed. Not long after that, I'll bury their mother beside them. Don't believe I'm not as cunning and stealthy as you are."
She could feel him smile.
"You get the picture, don't you?"
He pulled away.
"Sign it."
She looked at the blank space and what it offered. She took a silent, long breath, and with a prayer for her soul, she signed. Each letter was harder to form than the last. Finally, she let the quill drop onto the table.
"Good. Now get out,"
the king said, pointing at the door. "I'll summon you when you're needed." The king sat on his throne again. Selena bowed carefully, not taking her stare from his face. Only for an instant did she glance at Dorian, whose sapphire eyes gleamed with what she could have sworn was sadness before he smiled at her. She felt Kaol's hand graze her arm. Kaol would die. She couldn't send him to his death, or the Yitgar family. With feet both heavy and light, she left the chamber. Outside, the wind bellowed and raged against the glass spire, but it could do nothing to shatter the walls. With each step away from the chamber, the weight on her shoulders lifted. Kaol remained silent until they entered the stone castle, when he turned to her.
"Well, champion,"
he said. He still wasn't wearing his sword. "Yes, captain?" The corners of his mouth tugged upward.
"Are you happy now?"
She didn't fight her own grin. "I may have just signed away my soul, but yes, or as happy as I can be."
"Selena Sardothian, the king's champion," he mused.
"What about it?"
"I like the sound of it," he said, shrugging. "Do you want to know what your first mission will be?"
She looked at his golden brown eyes and all of the promises that lay within them, and linked her arm with his as she smiled. "Tell me tomorrow."
This book is over, but the story continues. Keep listening after the credits to hear the beginning of Crown of Midnight, Book 2 in the Throne of Glass series, free. This has been an Audible Inc. production of Throne of Glass. Written by Sarah J. Moss. Narrated by Elizabeth Evans. Producer Mike Charzik. Copyright 2012 by Sarah J. Moss. Production copyright 2013 by Audible Inc. And now, a free preview of Crown of Midnight, Book 2 in the Throne of Glass series. Part 1. The King's Champion. Chapter 1. The shutters swinging in the storm winds were the only sign of her entry. No one had noticed her scaling the garden wall of the darkened manor house, and with the thunder and the gusting wind off the nearby sea, no one heard her as she shimmied up the drainpipe, swung onto the windowsill, and slithered into the second-floor hallway. The king's champion pressed herself into an alcove at the thud of approaching steps. Concealed beneath a black mask and hood, she willed herself to melt into the shadows, to become nothing more than a slip of darkness. A servant girl trudged past to the open window, grumbling as she latched it shut. Seconds later, she disappeared down the stairwell at the other end of the hall. The girl hadn't noticed the wet footprints on the floorboards. Lightning flashed, illuminating the hallway. The assassin took a long breath, going over the plans she'd painstakingly memorized in the 3 days she'd been watching the manor house on the outskirts of Bellhaven. 5 doors on each side. Lord Nerall's bedroom was the 3rd on the left. She listened for the approach of any other servants, but the house remained hushed as the storm raged around them. Silent and smooth as a wraith, she moved down the hall. Lord Nerall's bedroom door swung open with a slight groan. She waited until the next rumble of thunder before easing the door shut behind her. Another flash of lightning illuminated 2 figures sleeping in the 4-poster bed. Lord Nerall was no older than 35, and his wife, dark-haired and beautiful, slept soundly in his arms. What had they done to offend the king so gravely that he wanted them dead? She crept to the edge of the bed. It wasn't her place to ask questions. Her job was to obey. Her freedom depended on it. With each step toward Lord Nerall, she ran through the plan again. Her sword slid out of its sheath with barely a whine. She took a shuddering breath, bracing herself for what would come next. Lord Nerall's eyes flew open, just as the king's champion raised her sword over his head. Chapter 2. Selena Sardothian stalked down the halls of the glass castle of Rifthold. The heavy sack clenched in her hand swung with each step, banging every so often into her knees. Despite the hooded black cloak that concealed much of her face, the guards didn't stop her as she strode toward the King of Otterland's council chamber. They knew very well who she was, and what she did for the king. As the king's champion, she outranked them. Actually, there were few in the castle she didn't outrank now, and fewer still who didn't fear her. She approached the open glass doors, her cloak sweeping behind her.
The guards posted on either side straightened as she gave them a nod before entering the council chamber. Her black boots were nearly silent against the red marble floor. On the glass throne in the center of the room sat the King of Otterlin, his dark gaze locked on the sack dangling from her fingers. Just as she had the last three times, Selena dropped to one knee before his throne and bowed her head. Dorian Havilliard stood beside his father's throne, and she could feel his sapphire eyes fixed on her. At the foot of the dais, always between her and the royal family, stood Kaol Westfall, captain of the guard. She looked up at him from the shadows of her hood, taking in the lines of his face. For all the expression he showed, she might as well have been a stranger. But that was expected, and it was just part of the game they'd become so skilled at playing these past few months. Kaol might be her friend, might be someone she'd somehow come to trust, but he was still captain, still responsible for the royal lives in this room above all others. The king spoke.
"Rise."
Selena kept her chin high as she stood and pulled off her hood. The king waved a hand at her, the obsidian ring on his finger gleaming in the afternoon light.
"Is it done?"
Selena reached a gloved hand into the sack and tossed the severed head toward him. No one spoke as it bounced, a vulgar thudding of stiff and rotting flesh on marble. It rolled to a stop at the foot of the dais. Milky eyes turned toward the ornate glass chandelier overhead. Dorian straightened, glancing away from the head. Kaol just stared at her. "He put up a fight," Selena said. The king leaned forward, examining the mauled face and the jagged cuts in the neck.
"I can barely recognize him."
Selena gave him a crooked smile, though her throat tightened. "I'm afraid severed heads don't travel well." She fished in her sack again, pulling out a hand. "Here's his seal ring." She tried not to focus too much on the decaying flesh she held, the reek that had worsened with each passing day. She extended the hand to Kaol, whose bronze eyes were distant as he took it from her and offered it to the king. The king's lip curled, but he pried the ring off the stiff finger. He tossed the hand at her feet as he examined the ring. Beside his father, Dorian shifted. When she'd been dueling in the competition, he hadn't seemed to mind her history. What did he expect would happen when she became the king's champion? Though she supposed severed limbs and heads would turn the stomachs of most people, even after living for a decade under Otterlin's rule. And Dorian, who had never seen battle, never witnessed the chained lines shuffling their way to the butchering blocks. Perhaps she should be impressed he hadn't vomited yet.
"What of his wife?"
the king demanded, turning the ring over in his fingers again and again. "Chained to what's left of her husband at the bottom of the sea," Selena replied with a wicked grin, and removed the slender, pale hand from her sack. It bore a golden wedding band, engraved with the date of the marriage. She offered it to the king, but he shook his head. She didn't dare look at Dorian or Kaol as she put the woman's hand back in the thick canvas sack.
"Very well, then,"
the king murmured. She remained still as his eyes roved over her, the sack, the head. After a too long moment, he spoke again.
"There is a growing rebel movement here in Rifthold. A group of individuals who are willing to do anything to get me off the throne, and who are attempting to interfere with my plans. Your next assignment is to root out and dispatch them all before they become a true threat to my empire."
Selena clenched the sack so tightly her fingers ached. Kaol and Dorian were staring at the king now, as if this were the first they were hearing of this too. She'd heard whispers of rebel forces before she'd gone to Endovir. She'd met fallen rebels in the salt mines. But to have an actual movement growing in the heart of the capital, to have her be the one to dispatch them one by one. And plans? What plans? What did the rebels know of the king's maneuverings? She shoved the questions down, down, down until there was no possibility of reading them on her face. The king drummed his fingers on the arm of the throne, still playing with Nerall's ring in his other hand.
"There are several people on my list of suspected traitors, but I will only give you one name at a time. This castle is crawling with spies."
Kaol stiffened at that, but the king waved his hand and the captain approached her, his face still blank as he extended a piece of paper to Selena. She avoided the urge to stare at Kael's face as he gave her the letter, though his gloved fingers grazed hers before he let go. Keeping her fingers neutral, she looked at the paper. On it was a single name, Archer Finn. It took every ounce of will and sense of self-preservation to keep her shock from showing. She knew Archer, had known him since she was 13 and he'd come for lessons at the Assassin's Keep. He'd been several years older, already a highly sought-after courtesan, who was in need of some training on how to protect himself from his rather jealous clients and their husbands. He'd never minded her ridiculous girlhood crush on him. In fact, he'd let her test out flirting with him, and had usually turned her into a complete giggling mess. Of course, she hadn't seen him for several years, since before she went to Endovir, but she'd never thought him capable of something like this. He'd been handsome and kind and jovial, not a traitor to the crown so dangerous that the king would want him dead. It was absurd. Whoever was giving the king his information was a damned idiot. Just him or all his clients, too, Selena blurted. The king gave her a slow smile.
You know, Archer? I'm not surprised.
A taunt, a challenge. She just stared ahead, willing herself to calm, to breathe. I used to. He's an extraordinarily well-guarded man. I'll need time to get past his defenses. So carefully said, so casually phrased. What she really needed time for was to figure out how Archer had gotten tangled up in this mess, and whether the king was telling the truth. If Archer truly were a traitor and a rebel, well, she'd figure that out later.
Then you have 1 month, the king said, and if he's not buried by then, perhaps I shall reconsider your position, girl.
She nodded, submissive, yielding, gracious. Thank you, Your Majesty.
When you have dispatched Archer, I will give you the next name on the list.
She had avoided the politics of the kingdoms, especially their rebel forces, for so many years, and now she was in the thick of it.
Wonderful. Be quick, the king warned. Be discreet. Your payment for Nerall is already in your chambers.
Selena nodded again and shoved the piece of paper into her pocket.
The king was staring at her.
Selena looked away, but forced a corner of her mouth to twitch upward, to make her eyes glitter with the thrill of the hunt. At last, the king lifted his gaze to the ceiling.
Take that head and be gone.
He pocketed Nerall's seal ring, and Selena swallowed her twinge of disgust. A trophy. She scooped up the head by its dark hair and grabbed the severed hand, stuffing them into the sack. With only a glance at Dorian, whose face had gone pale, she turned on her heel and left. Dorian Havilliard stood in silence as the servants rearranged the chamber, dragging the giant oak table and ornate chairs into the center of the room. They had a council meeting in 3 minutes. He hardly heard as Kael took his leave, saying he'd like to debrief Selena further. His father grunted his approval. Selena had killed a man and his wife, and his father had ordered it. Dorian had barely been able to look at either of them. He thought he'd been able to convince his father to reevaluate his brutal policies after the massacre of those rebels in Eelway before Yulmas, but it seemed like it hadn't made any difference. And Selena. As soon as the servants finished arranging the table, Dorian slid into his usual seat at his father's right. The councilmen began trickling in, along with Duke Parrington, who went straight to the king and began murmuring to him. Too soft for Dorian to hear. Dorian didn't bother saying anything to anyone, and just stared at the glass pitcher of water before him. Selena hadn't seemed like herself just now. Actually, for the 2 months since she'd been named the king's champion, she'd been like this. Her lovely dresses and ornate clothes were gone, replaced by an unforgiving, close-cut black tunic and pants, her hair pulled back in a long braid that fell into the folds of that dark cloak she was always wearing. She was a beautiful wraith, and when she looked at him, it was like she didn't even know who he was. Dorian glanced at the open doorway, through which she had vanished moments before. If she could kill people like this, then manipulating him into believing she felt something for him would have been all too easy. Making an ally of him, making him love her enough to face his father on her behalf, to ensure that she was appointed champion. Dorian couldn't bring himself to finish the thought. He'd visit her, Tomorrow, perhaps, just to see if there was a chance he was wrong. But he couldn't help wondering if he'd ever meant anything to Selena at all. Selena strode quickly and quietly down hallways and stairwells, taking the now familiar route to the castle sewer. It was the same waterway that flowed past her secret tunnel, though here it smelled far worse, thanks to the servants depositing refuse almost hourly. Her steps, then a second pair, Kael's, echoed in the long subterranean passage. But she didn't say anything until she stopped at the edge of the water, glancing at the several archways that opened on either side of the river. No one was here. "So," she said without looking behind her, "are you going to say hello, or are you just going to follow me everywhere?" She turned to face him, the sack still dangling from her hand.
"Are you still acting like the king's champion, or are you back to being Selena?"
In the torchlight, his bronze eyes glittered. Of course Kael would notice the difference. He noticed everything. She couldn't tell whether it pleased her or not, especially when there was a slight bite to his words. When she didn't reply, he asked,
"How was Belhaven?"
"The same as it always is." She knew precisely what he meant. He wanted to know how her mission had gone.
"He fought you?"
He jerked his chin toward the sack in her hand. She shrugged and turned back to the dark river. "It was nothing I couldn't handle." She tossed the sack into the sewer. They watched in silence as it bobbed, then slowly sank. Kael cleared his throat. She knew he hated this. When she'd gone on her first mission, to an estate up the coast in Mia, he'd paced so much before she left that she honestly thought he would ask her not to go. And when she'd returned, severed head and toe and rumors flying about Sir Carlin's murder, it had taken a week for him to even look her in the eye. But what had he expected?
"When will you begin your new mission?"
he asked. "Tomorrow, or the day after. I need to rest," she added quickly when he frowned. "And besides, it'll only take me a day or two to figure out how guarded Archer is and sort out my approach. Hopefully I won't even need the month the king gave me." And hopefully Archer would have some answers about how he'd gotten on the king's list, and what plans exactly that the king had alluded to. Then she would figure out what to do with him. Kael stepped beside her, still staring at the filthy water, where the sack was undoubtedly now caught in the current and drifting out into the Avery River and the sea beyond.
"I'd like to debrief you."
She raised an eyebrow. "Aren't you at least going to take me to dinner first?" His eyes narrowed, and she gave him a pout.
"It's not a joke. I want the details of what happened with Nerall."
She brushed him aside with a grin, wiping her gloves on her pants before heading back up the stairs. Kael grabbed her arm.
"If Nerall fought back, then there might be witnesses who heard—"
"He didn't make any noise," Selena snapped, shaking him off as she stormed up the steps. After 2 weeks of travel, she just wanted to sleep. Even the walk up to her rooms felt like a trek. "You don't need to debrief me, Kael." He stopped her again at a shadowy landing, with a firm hand on her shoulder.
"When you go away," he said, the distant torchlight illuminating the rugged plains of his face, "I have no idea what's happening to you. I don't know if you're hurt or rotting in a gutter somewhere. Yesterday I heard a rumor that they caught the killer responsible for Nerall's death."
He brought his face close to hers, his voice hoarse.
"Until you arrived today, I thought they meant you. I was about to go down there myself to find you."
Well, that would explain why she'd seen Kael's horse being saddled at the stables when she arrived. She loosed a breath, her face suddenly warm. "Have a little more faith in me than that. I am the king's champion, after all." She didn't have time to brace herself as he pulled her against him, his arms wrapping tightly around her. She didn't hesitate before twining her arms over his shoulders, breathing in the scent of him. He hadn't held her since the day she'd learned she had officially won the competition, though the memory of that embrace often drifted into her thoughts. And as she held him now, the craving for it never to stop roared through her. His nose grazed the nape of her neck.
"Gods above, you smell horrible," he muttered.
She hissed and shoved him, her face burning in earnest now. "Carrying around dead body parts for weeks isn't exactly conducive to smelling nice. And maybe if I'd been given time for a bath instead of being ordered to report immediately to the king, I might have—" She stopped herself at the sight of his grin and smacked his shoulder.
idiot. Selena linked arms with him, tugging him up the stairs. Come on. Let's go to my room so you can debrief me like a proper gentleman. Kael snorted and nudged her with his elbow, but didn't let go. After a joyous Fleetfoot calmed down enough for Selena to speak without being licked, Kael squeezed every last detail from her and left her with the promise to return for dinner in a few hours. And after she let Philippa fuss over her in the bath and bemoan the state of her hair and nails, Selena collapsed onto her bed. Fleetfoot leapt up beside her, curling in close to her side. Stroking the dog's silky golden coat, Selena stared at the ceiling, the exhaustion seeping out of her sore muscles. The king had believed her. And Kael hadn't once doubted her story as he inquired about her mission. She couldn't quite decide if that made her feel smug, disappointed, or outright guilty. But the lies had rolled off her tongue. Nerol awoke right before she killed him. She had to slit his wife's throat to keep her from screaming, and the fight was a tad messier than she would have liked. She'd thrown in real details, too. The second-floor hall window, the storm, the servant with the candle. The best lies were always mixed with truth. Selena clutched the amulet on her chest. The Eye of Elena. She hadn't seen Elena since their last encounter in the tomb. Hopefully, now that she was the king's champion, the ancient queen's ghost would leave her alone. Still, in the months since Elena had given her the amulet for protection, Selena had come to find its presence reassuring. The metal was always warm, as though it had a life of its own. She squeezed it hard. If the king knew the truth about what she did, what she'd been doing these past 2 months. She had embarked on the first mission intending to quickly dispatch the target. She'd prepared herself for the kill, told herself that Sir Carlin was nothing but a stranger and his life meant nothing to her. But when she got to his estate and witnessed the unusual kindness with which he treated his servants, when she saw him playing the lyre with a traveling minstrel he sheltered in his hall, when she realized whose agenda she was aiding, she couldn't do it. She tried to bully and coax and bribe herself into doing it, but she couldn't. Still, she had to produce a murder scene and a body. She'd given Lord Nerol the same choice she'd given Sir Carlin. Die right then, or fake his own death and flee, flee far, and never use his given name again. So far, of the 4 men she'd been assigned to dispatch, all had chosen escape. It wasn't hard to get them to part with their seal rings or other token items, and it was even easier to get them to hand over their nightclothes so she could stash them in accordance with the wounds she would claim to have given them. Bodies were easy to acquire, too. Sick houses were always dumping fresh corpses. It was never hard to find one that looked enough like her target, especially since the locations of the kills had been distant enough to give the flesh time to rot. She didn't know who the head of Lord Nerol actually belonged to, only that he had similar hair, and when she inflicted a few slashes on his face and let the whole thing decompose a bit, it did the job. The hand had also come from that corpse, and the lady's hand, that had come from a young woman barely into her first bleeding, struck dead by a sickness that 10 years ago a gifted healer could easily have cured. But with magic gone, and those wise healers hanged or burned, people were dying in droves, dying from stupid, once-curable illnesses. She rolled over to bury her face in Fleetfoot's soft coat. Archer. How was she going to fake his death? He was so popular and so recognizable. She still couldn't imagine him having a connection to whatever this underground movement was. But if he was on the king's list, then perhaps in the years since she'd seen him, Archer had used his talents to become powerful. Yet what information could the movement possibly have on the king's plans that would make it a true threat? The king had enslaved the entire continent. What more could he do? There were other continents, of course. Other continents with wealthy kingdoms, like Wendlin, that faraway land across the sea. It had held out against his naval attack so far, but she'd heard next to nothing about that war since before she'd gone to Endovir. And why would a rebel movement care about kingdoms on another continent when they had their own to worry about? So the plans had to be about this land, this continent. She didn't want to know. She didn't want to know what the king was doing, what he imagined for the Empire. She'd use this month to figure out what to do with Archer and pretend she'd never heard that horrible word. Plans. Selena fought a shudder.
She was playing a very, very lethal game. And now that her targets were people in Rifthold, now that it was Archer, she'd have to find a way to play it better. Because if the king ever learned the truth, if he found out what she was doing, he'd destroy her.
Chapter 3 Selena sprinted through the darkness of the secret passageway, her breathing ragged. She glanced over her shoulder to find Kane grinning at her, his eyes like burning coals. No matter how fast she ran, his stalking gait easily kept him just behind her. After him flowed a wake of glowing green word marks, their strange shapes and symbols illuminating the ancient blocks of stone. And behind Kane, its long nails scraping against the ground, lumbered the Ritterak. Selena stumbled, but remained upright. Each step felt like she was wading through mud. She couldn't escape him. He would catch her eventually. And once the Ritterak got hold of her, she didn't dare glance again at those two big teeth that jutted out of its mouth, or those fathomless eyes, gleaming with the desire to devour her bit by bit. Kane chuckled, the sound grating on the stone walls. He was close now, close enough that his fingers raked against the nape of her neck. He whispered her name, her true name, and she screamed as he... Selena awoke with a gasp, clutching the eye of Elena. She scanned the room for denser shadows, for glowing word marks, for signs that the secret door was open behind the tapestry that concealed it. But there was only the crackling of the dying fire. Selena sank back into her pillows. It was just a nightmare. Kane and the Ritterak were gone, and Elena wouldn't bother her again. It was over. Fleetfoot, sleeping under the many layers of blankets, put her head on Selena's stomach. Selena nestled down farther, wrapping her arms around the dog, as she closed her eyes. It was over. In the chill mists of early morning, Selena hurled a stick across the wide field of the game park. Fleetfoot took off through the pale grass like a bolt of golden lightning, so fast that Selena let out a low, appreciative whistle. Beside her, Nehemia clicked her tongue, her eyes on the swift hound. With Nehemia so busy winning over Queen Georgina and gleaning information about the king's plans for Eelway, dawn was usually the only time they could see each other. Did the king know that the princess was one of the spies he'd mentioned? He couldn't, or else he'd never trust Selena to be his champion, not when their friendship was widely known. Why Archer Finn? Nehemia mused in Eelway, keeping her voice low. Selena had explained her latest mission, keeping the details brief. Fleetfoot reached the stick and trotted back to them, her long tail wagging. Even though she wasn't yet fully grown, the dog was already abnormally large. Dorian had never said what breed, exactly, he suspected her mother had mated with. Given Fleetfoot's size, it could have been a wolfhound. Or an actual wolf. Selena shrugged at Nehemia's question, stuffing her hands into the fur-lined pockets of her cloak. The king thinks... He thinks that Archer is a part of some secret movement against him. A movement here in Rifthold to get him off the throne.
Surely no one would be that bold.
The rebels hide out in the mountains and forests, and places where the local people can conceal and support them. Not here.
Rifthold would be a death trap.
Selena shrugged again, just as Fleetfoot returned and demanded the stick be thrown again. Apparently not. And apparently the king has a list of people whom he thinks are key players in this movement against him.
And you are to kill them all?
Nehemia's creamy brown face paled slightly. One by one, Selena said, throwing the stick as far as she could into the misty field. Fleetfoot shot off, dried grass and the remnants of the last snowstorm crunching beneath her huge paws. He'll only reveal one name at a time. A bit dramatic, if you ask me, but apparently they're interfering with his plans.
What plans?
Nehemia said sharply. Selena frowned. I was hoping you might know.
I don't. There was a tense pause. If you learn anything, Nehemia began.
I'll see what I can do, Selena lied. She wasn't even sure if she truly wanted to know what the king was up to, let alone share that information with anyone else. It was selfish, and stupid, perhaps, but she couldn't forget the warning the king had given the day he crowned her champion. If she stepped out of line, if she betrayed him, he'd kill Kaol.
and then Nehemia, and then the princess's family.
And all of this, every death she faked, every lie she told, put them at risk. Nehemia shook her head, but didn't reply. Whenever the princess or Kaol or even Dorian looked at her like that, it was almost too much to bear. But they had to believe the lies, too, for their own safety. Nehemia began wringing her hands, and her eyes grew distant. Selena had seen that expression often in the past month. "If you're fretting for my sake..."
"I'm not," Nehemia said. "You can take care of yourself."
"Then what is it?" Selena's stomach clenched. If Nehemia talked more about the rebels, she didn't know how much of it she could take. Yes, she wanted to be free of the king, both as his champion and as a child of a conquered nation. But she wanted nothing to do with whatever plots were brewing in Rifthold, and whatever desperate hope the rebels still savored. To stand against the king would be nothing but folly. They'd all be destroyed. But Nehemia said,
"Numbers in the Calicola labor camp are swelling. Every day more and more Ilwe rebels arrive. Most consider it a miracle that they're alive. After the soldiers butchered those 500 rebels. My people are afraid."
Fleetfoot again returned, and it was Nehemia who took the stick from the dog's mouth and chucked it into the gray dawn.
"But the conditions in Calicola..."
She paused, probably recalling the three scars that raked down Selena's back. A permanent reminder of the cruelty of the salt mines of Endovir, and a reminder that even though she was free, thousands of people still toiled and died there. Calicola, the sister camp to Endovir, was rumored to be even worse.
"The king will not meet with me," Nehemia said, now toying with one of her fine, slender braids. "I have asked him three times to discuss the conditions in Calicola, and each time he claims to be occupied. Apparently he's too busy finding people for you to kill."
Selena blushed at the harshness in Nehemia's tone. Fleetfoot returned again, but when Nehemia took the stick, the princess kept it in her hands.
"I must do something, Alentia," Nehemia said,
using the name she'd given her on the night Selena admitted that she was an assassin.
"I must find a way to help my people. When does gathering information become a stalemate? When do we act?"
Selena swallowed hard. That word, act, scared her more than she'd like to admit. Worse than the word plans. Fleetfoot sat at their feet, tail wagging as she waited for the stick to be thrown. But when Selena said nothing, when she promised nothing, just as she always did when Nehemia spoke about these things, the princess dropped the stick on the ground and quietly walked back to the castle. Selena waited until Nehemia's footsteps faded and let out a long breath. She was to meet Kaol for their morning run in a few minutes. But after that she was going into Rifthold. Let Archer wait until this afternoon. After all, the king had given her a month, and despite her own questions for Archer, she wanted to get off the castle grounds for a bit. She had blood money to burn. We hope you enjoyed this free preview of Crown of Midnight, Book 2 in the Throne of Glass series. To keep the story going, get the complete book today.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.